We're going to continue with the sermon series, which is based on the solas of the Reformation. The sermon series is called Restoring the Gospel. And as I've told you all the way through this, what we're trying to do is get back to the simple, pure gospel. What is the Scripture really teaching us? What do we need to believe? And so we've gotten down to solus Christus, which means Christ alone. Christ alone. The Scripture for today comes from 1 Timothy 2:5, and this is what the Word says. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. May God add His blessing and understanding to the reading of His Word. Mediator is not a word that we use a lot, and it's probably a word that we don't like to use, because when we need a mediator, it means we've got some kind of conflict that needs to be worked out. The mediator is the one who comes in between there. By definition, this comes from Easton's Bible Dictionary, it says, one who intervenes between two persons who are at variance with a view to reconcile them. All right, that's the Easton's Bible Dictionary definition of the word mediator as it's used in this passage. A mediator is a fair and just representative of both sides. The mediator doesn't favor one or the other. The mediator comes in between to bridge the gap between the two and is a fair and a just representative of both parties. All right? You know, this text says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men. Right, there's only one who can actually fulfill that role of being a true and a just representative of both parties, who can represent God and who can represent man. And it says, here's who it is. The man, Christ, Jesus. In my notes, I put the man, Christ. The one who is God and man. You know, if you want to understand that, it's difficult to understand that Jesus is God and Jesus is man. But if you want to understand it more thoroughly, read the gospel according to John. Because the whole point of John's gospel is to teach us what it means for Jesus to be both man and God. No less God, but still man. And so, having lived in our skin, having walked in our shoes, having lived as we live, as I said last week, having the same frailties of body that we do, getting tired, getting hungry, needing rest, getting aggravated, you know, by people who are aggravated, all those kinds of things. Jesus walked that walk for us. He did it just like we do, with one exception. He didn't sin. He did it in a way that always pleased God the Father. But He understands what it means to be a man. But He also perfectly knows the will of God. And so He is the one who can stand in as our mediator. Jesus is God. If you look at the prologue to John, the first few verses there in the Gospel according to John, it says, the Word was God. If you go to the Gospel according to Mark and you look at the first verse, it says this, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's interesting that all through the entire Gospel, when Jesus talks about Himself, He calls Himself the Son of Man. But Mark tells us right from the beginning that this is the story, this is the true story about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus is also man. If you complete that thought in the prologue to John's Gospel, yes, it says the Word was God, but it also says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there you get the picture of the Christ man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 9:15, it says, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant." Here's the reason: that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. For this reason, that's the purpose, right? That tells us why this is so, why Jesus Christ is the mediator. The reason why we need a mediator is so that we can receive, those who are called may receive. He's the one who stands between God the Father and us as our representative, and as God's representative, as God the Father's representative, so that we might receive the promises that God has for us. I think, well, what are those things? What are those promises? Life, help, hope, strength, blessing, joy, peace. All those things come to us from God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus Christ is the way. You remember that verse we quote all the time in John 14? Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He's the means that we have to come before God the Father. When I prayed this morning, I prayed as we came before the throne of grace that we have no right to be there except through Jesus Christ. He is our way. He is the door. He is the means by which we can come to God the Father and not be just blasted away because of our sinfulness, because we come robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ if our faith is in Him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And the rest of that verse is, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He's our mediator. He's the one that stands in between and makes it possible. You know, a lot of people think that you can come to the Father any old way. There are a lot of people in this world that believe that. They think, well, you know, I don't know about Jesus, but, you know, I believe in God, and I get there my own way. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." This is an illustration that we use sometimes about keys. I used to have a lot more keys. I was more responsible in those days, I guess. I was thinking, if you got a lot of keys, that means, you know, somebody thinks you're really responsible. I just have a few keys now. But, you know, you might believe that that key right there will start my truck. Or you might believe that key will start my truck. They both kind of look like Toyota keys. They are, in fact. But, you know, only one of those keys will start the truck, will open the doors, and it doesn't matter how much you believe it's this one, it's not going to get you in the truck. It's not going to get you anywhere. And you can believe it with all your heart that that's the key that's going to work, but it isn't the key. This is the key. And the key to heaven, the key to the presence of God, is Jesus Christ. And there's no other key. You want to come to the Father, and you want to be able to stand in His presence, you got to go through Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's what this whole idea is. Solus Christus, Christ alone, that's what it's talking about. There aren't a multitude of ways to come to God. There's only one, and that's through Jesus Christ. So faith in Christ alone is the key to heaven. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is also the judge. He stands as a representative, not just of us, to God the Father, but as a representative of God the Father to mankind. And He is the one who is appointed to judge. And who could better judge than the one who is both God and man, the lawgiver and the lawkeeper? There are some passages that I want to read just so you see that this is in the Scripture and this is what the Scripture actually teaches. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Who is it that we are waiting to return? Is that not Jesus? That's what he's talking about there. Acts 17:31, it says this, "For he," that is God the Father. If you read the previous verse, you see this. "For he has set a day by which he will judge the world with justice." The first he being God the Father, the second he being God the Son. "By the man he has appointed, he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." I only know one person that fits, and that's Jesus. John 5:22 and 23 says, "The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father." John 5:27, "He has given him authority to judge." Why? "Because he is the Son of Man." So here we have Jesus, who is the Son of Man and the Son of God, who is both divine and human, who knows the ways of heaven, the ways of man. Christ alone. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. I hope you can absorb it. Maybe write some of these down. You can take them home and spend some time meditating and ruminating and cogitating on these verses, thinking them over, what they have to say, because they have a lot to say, and there's a lot more than I can say in the time we have this morning. But Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place." This is following a description of what Jesus did. He set his glory aside. It says he emptied himself, and he took on the place, the role of a servant, the likeness of man. He became a man obedient to the Father, and he was obedient even to the cross. And it says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say that with me? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's an important statement. It says this is going to happen for the glory of the Father. To say Jesus Christ is Lord is to say that He is supreme. He is sovereign. He has authority over all things and is worthy of all honor. Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen to that verse again. "Therefore God exalted Him," exalted Jesus, "to the highest place." Who is there above Jesus? No one, because Jesus is at the highest place. He exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, everywhere, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Savior of the elect. As I told the kids, Jesus' name means Savior. It means Deliverer. Everybody knows John 3:16, but I'll read it plus a couple other verses that follow. "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." Specifically says, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And what is the name of God's one and only Son? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, and we sang this a little while ago, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know, this is pretty clear, isn't it? Our faith needs to be in Christ alone. Not in Christ plus some other stuff. Not in Christ plus some other people. Because He is the mediator. He is the one who enables us to come to the Father. He is the champion of the saved. He's the champion of the saved. He has defeated the enemy and destroyed his works. In 1 John 3:8 it says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. See, why did Jesus go through that? Why did He empty Himself and come to earth to be born under the law, to be born by a woman, and live as a human being? Why did He do that? Because that was the means by which He could destroy and did destroy the works of the devil. We would be lost along with all the rest of humanity if Jesus had not done that. Colossians 2, 14 to 15 says this, He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Praise the Lord. And so Hebrews 12 tells us this, so let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I love the way they put this. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He now is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You see, Jesus has gone before us to prepare the way and the place for us. Jesus is the head of the church. In Ephesians, it says this, God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. The church is a supernatural body. It's not a club. It's not an association. It's a supernatural body of people that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is filled with the Holy Spirit. If you put your trust in Jesus, if you claim Him as your Savior, He puts His Spirit in you. And so the church, those that belong to Christ, the whole church is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an organization filled with the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God and directed by the Spirit of God. It exists to serve and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. The church is only the church when it's following Christ and depending on His grace and power. That's the only time we're the church, when we're following Christ, when we fix our eyes on Him and run that race, then we're the church. Then we're the body of Christ. The text said this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Let's see what Jesus said about that Himself. In the Gospel according to John, there are a whole series of statements that Jesus makes. And the way that He says them, the grammar that He uses is very interesting and unique. He uses this construction, ego eimi, which means I am. So translated into English, it just says I am. But it's a lot stronger than that because it means I and nobody else. I and no one else is what it actually means. He says, I am, in verse 6:35, you can look these up if you like, This is all in the Gospel according to John 6:35. He says, I am the living bread. I am the living bread. When Jesus said that, he may have been making a reference to the Lord's Supper. But the real point of it is this. Bread is what sustains life. Back in the 60s, we used to call money bread. Hey man, you got any bread? Bread is what sustains life. All of food is often referred to as your daily bread. Jesus said, I'm the living bread. I'm the one who sustains your life, not just today. If you eat bread today, you're going to be hungry tomorrow. But he says, I'm the living bread. He sustains your life forever. I and no one else. Jesus said, I am the living bread. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I and no one else. You see, Jesus stands out in contrast to every other person. There is no one like Jesus. And so he is the one who brings truth, who shines light. The scripture tells us that he came as a light into the darkness. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus and no other. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the door. I am the door. Similar to I am the way. You see, if you want to come to the Father, and we all do, if you want to come to the Father, you got to go through the door. And Jesus says, I and no other, I am the door. You got to go through Jesus. Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In every one of these cases, he uses that exact same phraseology. I am the good shepherd. I and no other. There is no other good shepherd. There are a lot of shepherds. But only Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. He said, I know my sheep, and they know me, and they know my voice, and they follow me. I and no other. Christ alone. He said, I am the resurrection. I and no other. And the life. I am the resurrection. Our hope of eternal life doesn't rest in our good works. It doesn't rest in our church membership. It doesn't rest in our family background or heritage or anything like that. Our hope of resurrection, of life everlasting, rests in Christ alone. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And it's true. There is no mediator except for Jesus Christ. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Because there's no mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. He is the way. We don't need to pray to anybody else. We shouldn't pray to anybody else. Because there is only one mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ.